This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and joining us tonight for the most beloved of episodes, it's a Versus episode. Please welcome Dave Festini as co-host and Dave Schneier as scorekeeper. Hello, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Evening, Pat.
So when you, like, people often say, the episode you love to hate, but I think these are the episodes that people hate to love.
I agree. And this one's an epic battle. I know I've probably said that before, but this one really fits the bill.
This one fits the bill. And this one was brought to us by Dave Schneier. This was his idea. I think it's a fantastic idea, Dave.
Thank you. Thank you. I was inspired, honestly, after the first one, I think we did, it was like, let's find something really fun to compare.
Yeah.
And this, I don't know why these two popped into my head. I don't know. It just came to me in a dream.
and once you check that the song count matches, it's all good to go. So everyone, you already know it because you've seen the artwork. If you've read the description, no one goes into this blind and just doesn't know what they're going to listen to. But I will tell you tonight, no matter who wins, the winner will be Van Halen, because it's Van Halen's 1984 versus Van Halen's 5150. So it's the last album with David Lee Roth. Up to that point, there's another one, but up to that point, it's 1984. And then it's the first album with Sammy Hagar, 5150. And I love it because they're both number albums, 1984, yes. 5150, same amount of numbers in each name. Both have horrible album covers. I mean, there's so many things.
Whoa.
What's going on?
Are you kidding? You were joking, right? 1984 is a classic album cover.
I have never liked that album cover.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Listen, 5150 makes no sense.
Yeah, 5150 doesn't make any sense. They're lifting, it's a big muscular guy lifting up a big ball with a Van Halen logo on it.
Even, you know, on the back of it, in the picture of the band, Eddie Van Halen doesn't even look like Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on.
Very strange. But the 1984 cover is a classic. What's not to like?
That also doesn't make any sense. Why? What says 1984 about that cover?
Because it's an angel sneaking a cigarette.
I hate that. I hate when you put a cigarette in anyone's hand on an album cover, and when you put it in a baby's hand who happens to be an angel, I hate it even more. I despise smoking on any album cover.
It's a cherub.
It's a little child. It's a baby.
Oh. Right. I don't know if it's not a baby.
Well, it's not a person. It's not a man.
Listen, I've always loved that cover.
This might be the worst cover. This is the worst of the Dave era album covers.
Oh,
I wholeheartedly disagree.
That's a bold statement, Pat.
Look, I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, and I accept criticism. But for me, that's the worst. I hate it. I've never liked it.
I wholeheartedly disagree. And listen, before I need to go on record here because in the
why do you need to go on record? Why are you? Is there why do you gotta have to go on record? I have to go on record. Before we begin, please let me get my gavel out.
It's a Senate hearing. Listen, I am unabashedly a card carrying member of Team Dave, okay? But, and I just want to get that out there.
Yeah.
But because of my dedication to the format, I will be as honest as is possible. We've already seen these things go the way that I never thought they would go.
Yeah.
But I just want to be, honest with the audience.
And I love David Lee Roth with Van Halen. I love all seven of these Van Halen albums with David Lee Roth. I love a couple of I love three David Lee Roth solo albums. I love his first three solo albums. I'm not that big a fan of Bozy Bop and doing a shuffle and wearing some overalls and and all that shtick and the swinging a sword. I could give a shit about that. But as far as David Lee Roth on album, on record, on recorded in the studio, I like him. I don't necessarily think he's a great live singer. I definitely don't think he's the best front man of all time. That's bullshit.
That
would be Mick Jagger. Hands down, it's Mick Jagger. And then Freddie Mercury. And then I don't even know where Dave is, but because he does the splits and swings a sword and rides a giant phallic microphone and says the same stage patter every time I saw him, twice with Van Halen, and then his first tour with Eat 'Em and Smile, the exact same stage patter, including getting hit in the eye with a quarter. And then he's going to fuck my girlfriend. What? Bullshit. Every time. Not one spontaneous thing.
What are you talking about? You sound like a madman.
I know. I am a little bit of a madman. Well, I just want to go on record.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is dicey before we've even heard a song.
Dicey before
we even heard it? A song. I just saw a quote recently. Was it Templeman who said that Van Halen would never have succeeded without David Lee Roth? He's
probably
the attitude.
True. 100,
he's the
probably attitude. 100% true.
He's the swagger. He's the ultimate frontman. Mick Jagger.
Mick Jagger's a better frontman than David Lee Roth. I've seen Mick Jagger get a stadium going. I've seen Freddie Mercury get a stadium going.
I get Freddie. May he rest in peace, rock in peace. But Mick Jagger, what?
Mick Jagger's still doing it. And doing it at the top of his game. David Lee Roth is still doing it in the minor leagues. But we're not talking about live performance. I brought that up.
The Jagger moves. I never bought it.
We're not talking about Maroon 5.
I never bought.
You buy swinging a big flag and a sword and doing a split?
Yes, it's rock and roll
every night.
I wish I could do that. I wish I was in the shape that David Lee Roth is in.
Well, we all wish we were in the shape he was in, but not mentally. Guy's a nut.
It's all part of his presence.
It's the shtick. It's not even presence. It's the shtick.
I think he'd be fine with shtick.
All
sometimes.
Right. Shtick and roll.
I'm Team Dave. I'm just being honest with the audience. I'm putting
You're
it out
Dave.
There.
You love David Lee Roth with Van Halen.
And I don't like Sammy. I think okay. Sammy's one of the cheesiest. He is the cheesiest fucking
he's
guy.
He's also a clown. They're both clowns.
No. Not they're a good both clowns. Way. Sammy's no. not a clown in a good way. Sammy is just a clown.
They're both a clown. They're both clowns. They
As
both
in
are
the
clowning.
Words of David Lee Roth,
oh boy.
Sammy loves to party. I am the party.
Ugh. Okay. All right. Look, the most sane person to ever hold down lead vocals in Van Halen was Gary Cherone. These other two guys are. Or a clown. They're clowns. They're both clowns. I agree.
Sammy's sane. He's just a goof.
Goofballs. Okay, they're goofballs. Let's call them goofballs. They're both goofballs.
You know my issue with Sam, that he thinks he did Van Halen a favor when he joined the band.
Look, he needed record sales.
Then you're goddamn right.
Yeah,
he did.
He needed it.
The closest he came to success was, you know, standing in a courtroom in yellow leather suit.
Yeah, look at that. That looks like
singing
an asshole
what is
in that
essentially
video.
A
I agree. It's crazy.
Novelty song and a song by Rick Springfield or performed by Rick Springfield.
Were you in that? Were you in that courtroom, Dave? I know you like to go on record. All right.
Like to recognize the gentleman
not.
From New Jersey
not.
At
Man,
this
we're,
time.
Coming in hot.
All right. All I want to say is I love every Van Halen album except Van Halen 3. So I'm all on board with Dave. When Dave left, that was odd. But when Sammy came in, I had been a Sammy fan prior to him joining Van Halen. So I was like, okay, this seems like maybe a good fit. So it was all cool to me. Whatever happened, happened. And then Dave had a couple of great solo albums. So everything was cool for me.
Love balance? Even balance?
I do like, look, Can't Stop Loving You is a great pop rock song.
It's okay, but you said you loved the album.
Yeah, I mean, the album? I don't know if I don't know. There's a song on every Van Halen album that I don't like, possibly, except maybe Van Halen 2, which is my favorite Dave one. I mean, I love For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Do I think Pound Cake is good? No, it's stupid. Do I think Spanked is good?
Why is Pound Cake stupid?
It's immature.
Why? The lyrics?
It's the lyrics.
Hey, who? I wonder who wrote them.
I love my baby's pound cake, please. Yeah,
which is part of the reason craziness. Why Sammy's a giant tool.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
His horrific lyrics.
All right.
This wasn't supposed to be Dave versus Sammy. I've turned it into
not, it's not.
A mockery of the format.
You started it by going on record. That's when it all started, when you wanted to go on record. Yeah, Dave, is your attorney present tonight?
He's right. He's in the next room on
we're
retainer.
Also getting, we're getting a different angle from you tonight.
I'm on a different computer because I'm on a different mic. You know, with me and the sound.
How many mics do you have?
I have two. Oh, I have two of these. Actually, that's not true. I have three. The other one is currently not in use.
Okay. Are you multi-tracking this recording?
No, I'm not.
All right. Now, I'm going to go on record. I'm fine with Dave. I'm fine with Sammy. All right. I'm going on record as that.
Okay. That's right. Fine.
Dave, what do you want to say? You're Dave. Nice, Dave. And the reason he's nice, Dave, is because he doesn't go on record.
I don't have an opinion. I mean, I prefer David Lee Roth to Sammy Hagar. I think Sammy Hagar is a bit trashy now. Now, I don't love the man. I thought he put out some good stuff with Van Halen. But if you had to put a gun to my head, I'm picking David Lee Roth, Van Halen over Sammy Hagar.
All right. Fair enough. And there's more of it. There's six albums to four albums. So.
Right.
Well, and can we all admit that Van Halen never released a good live album, which is unbelievable to me.
That whole body of work thing doesn't really hold water because those early Van Halen albums are like 20 minutes long. So,
well,
I think if you measured the time, the later Van Halen might have just as much
time wise.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm just going by album.
Just
titles.
By number of albums.
Number of albums. But can we agree they've never released a good live album? The Sammy one sucks, and that Dave one from Japan is unlistenable.
I don't understand the Dave one from Japan because I mean, the story goes that the brothers were just like, hey, Dave, pick whichever one you want. And why they wouldn't have picked one of the ones early on. I have a bootleg of their first show that they did in North Carolina. He sounds amazing. Yeah. Like, I don't get it.
I think he has such an affinity for Japanese culture that he wanted to pick one from Tokyo.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not on record for that. I'm just saying. One more thing. I forget. How do you guys know each other? How did you meet? College, high school? Did you date?
Only briefly.
We met in college. Dave was running the old college radio station.
Oh, nice.
Actually, no, you weren't. Not when I got there. But we met at the college radio station, and Dave ran it for a while. And we've been great friends ever since. Dave introduced me to my lovely wife, Nancy, who I just celebrated my 26th anniversary with.
Yes, you did. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, Dave, why did you introduce Dave Festini to Nancy and not ask Nancy out yourself?
Now, here's the funny thing. You want to go into it, Dave?
Sure.
I actually
Record? Are we currently on record?
I am going off the record on this one. I actually told Dave that I didn't think he had a chance with Nancy at first.
In a Denny's at like 2 o'clock in the morning.
You say crazy shit at Denny's at 2 o'clock in the morning.
It's true. He did this. This is a true story.
It's a true story.
Okay.
But I knew Nancy before I knew Dave, and then I met Dave and we introduced and the rest is history.
All right. And, yes. And, were you dating someone at the time, Dave Schneier?
No.
All right. But you're married currently?
I am currently married. Yes.
With children?
With children.
All right. Very good. And before I forget, tell us about your blog that everyone should check out.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. It is called Dave's Mixtape. You can find it off of, all my social media channels on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And actually I posted on LinkedIn for some reason as well, but there you go.
Okay. And on what's your Instagram and Twitter handles?
Just Instagram is at Dave Schneier. I think Twitter is also at Dave Schneier. That's S-C-H-N-E-I-E-R.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Here we go, gentlemen. We're going to take all these songs from the top. Each of these albums has 9 songs. 1984 was released in 1984, or was it released at the end of 83? I always am confused by that. I always thought it was released last week.
January 9th, 1984.
All right. January. Okay.
Yeah, you don't want me. I can't look it up or I'll see the track list.
That's right. Don't look it up. You know, this is why
That's why reporter Dave is here.
On record with all facts. And 5150 came out in 1986. 1984, of course, that's the year it came out. And it was George Orwell's 1984. There's probably something linked in with that. And 5150 is the police code for someone who's criminally insane.
I believe so. Also the name of his studio.
Yeah.
Yes. 5150. Was that, but I wonder what was first, was it named 5150 before this album?
I think it was.
There on so. The, well, I'll talk about it when we get there. Okay. I'm taking all these songs from the top, because that's fair. We're going to start with 1984 because that album came out first. The first track is also called 1984. Not a very fair matchup, but there's a couple that aren't fair matchups here, because 1984 is an instrumental and kind of leads us into track two. However, it does have its own track on the album and on the CD. So here we go with 1984. Right. It doesn't really change much from what we just heard. To hear the entire minute would be kind of ridiculous. It's basically that for the whole minute and 8 seconds. All right. And 5150 kicks off with Good Enough. Here we go.
Hello, baby.
I
seriously.
You got to throw it down.
Oh my God.
Roll it over once.
Oh. Right, not a maybe twice.
Yeah. Chow down.
God.
Save it. All right. There we have it. Good enough. Now, Dave, do you want to take the odds or the evens this time? What do you want to do?
Subtle Sammy. Whatever. I'll take the,
Why don't you start?
Okay.
Pat, I think you normally get the odds, Pat.
Okay.
Okay. So obvious. I mean, this one's an easy one, right? You know, no one's choosing. 1984 is not even really more of an intro than it is a song.
Yeah.
But, and I love the beginning of this song. In fact, it's the ringtone when Nancy calls, my wife, Nancy.
Which song's the ringtone? Good Enough?
Good Enough. Yeah.
Okay.
The hello baby. Thing.
Yeah.
Because it's a call. I think it's a call back to the Big Bopper.
The Big Bopper. Yeah. Exactly. Chantilly Lace.
Right. Exactly. Very nice. So, Good Enough's great, but it is a prime right up front. First track straight out of the gate. A prime example of Sammy's just horrific, sophomoric, stupid lyrics. I mean, just, you know, borderline or maybe not so borderline misogynistic. Just like, come on, dude.
But you're missing how great Eddie sounds.
No, I'm not.
Well, you didn't say anything about them.
It's a great this album, I feel like, was partially still written before Sammy came, and they had music and sure, they were like, Sam,
this would have been a David Lee Roth album with different, you know, with his lyrics, his take.
I agree.
I think so too.
You know, and Sam came along and he threw his eighth grade humor,
he pulled out his eighth grade notebook.
Good enough to, he's a real thespian. Good God.
He could have said pho like Paul McCartney does.
Jesus.
Yeah. So it's these lyrics. I mean, I do like the song. And in 86, when it came out, I didn't have a problem with these lyrics at all in 86. Certainly as a 22 year old, I didn't. Yeah. US Prime grade A stamp guaranteed. I mean, he's talking about her puss. Look, it's crazy. Oh. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And then we revisit it two albums later with Pound Cake.
I don't know if it's a direct reference to a body part.
I think it is.
I think it's just the woman.
Just the woman in general.
The woman is grade A. I mean, Jesus, don't make it worse than it already is.
Maybe that's a compliment.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, he got his, you know, he went to the Gene Simmons School of Rock Lyrics.
This is my wife. This is my, I'd like you to meet my wife. Hey, she's grade A. Doesn't sound bad.
Roll her over twice.
She's not doing enough. That. Maybe, Dave. Not definitely twice. Maybe. Maybe
only
once,
if
maybe
she
twice.
Wants to be rolled over twice, right?
And then chow down. Isn't that what he says? Does he say chow down? I'm pulling the lyrics out. I swear he says chow down.
It's going certain. On? It's I wouldn't put it past him. Da, 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 da,
da. Yeah, then chow down. She's good enough to
Oh God. This is the song that plays when my wife calls. Maybe I should rethink that decision.
No. Well, you may maybe just put the big bopper on there instead.
Yeah, I might. Maybe I will, actually.
Well, look, just for the fact that you just can't pick 1984. We could do that with a synthesizer and a volume control. We really could. So I'm
musically
going
I love Good Enough. Yes, musically.
Yeah, I'm going with Good Enough.
Yes.
It maybe would be it would be, it, it's just not good enough lyric wise.
No.
All right.
No, it's not.
So Dave, what's the score?
Pretty easy so far. 2-0 for 51-50.
All right. Coming up, track 2 versus track 2.
Oh.
This is probably one of the most difficult battles of the day. Without a doubt, I'm going on record saying this. We're going to kick it off. Both of these were the singles. So we're going to kick it off again with 1984. Let's hear a little something called Jump. Heard 1 minute and 24 seconds of Van Halen's Jump. All right, we're going to move on to 5150 track 2. It was the first single from the album. This is something called Why Can't This Be Love? All right. We heard 1 minute and 24 seconds of Why Can't This Be Love? All right. I have the evens, correct, Dave Schneier?
That is correct.
All right. Here's what I'm going to say. If I'm being honest, both of these songs for me are a 10. I like them both. When they come on the radio, still turn them up, still sing along. Love, love, love both songs. But there is nothing like Jump. I love, we didn't even get to the guitar solo in that thing. I love the lyrics. It's a signature Van Halen song, so much so that even Sammy had to sing this in his live set when he joined the band. And this is not a good song for Sammy to sing. He doesn't know how to sing this song. This is a 100% David Lee Roth song. No one can sing it but David Lee Roth. Why Can't This Be Love? When I first heard that, I thought, okay, Van Halen is still going to continue without Dave. It didn't sound quite like Van Halen, and yet it did. And it was just something new and different. I can remember hearing it for the first time. But all the way, Jump, Jump, Jump.
I hear you. And this is with a tough one, like we said in the beginning.
It's a tough one.
And the only way I could do this is to take each song and compare it to the songs from their era, right? So right. Jump compared to Dave's era, Why Can't This Be Love compared to Sammy's era. Jump, it's a classic. I love it. But to me, it's a little bit on the poppy. It's a little too poppy for the Dave era Van Halen. While Why Can't This Be Love, we didn't even get to that point later where Sammy's kind of like dueling with a
where they scat. He's scatting.
Yeah. I love Why Can't This Be Love. And I love Jump, but to me, Jump's a little bit too on the pop side. And Why Can't This Be Love is kind of straight down the middle as far as the Sammy era. I mean, there's stuff that gets really sappy, like, you know, Feels So Good on OU-812.
Yeah.
OU-812. Yeah. And there's stuff that's clearly more rock oriented. I'm Why Can't This Be Love on this one.
Wow.
Which is why this series is so
Is great. It's great. I swear this one was going to be two jumps, but that's cool. I do want to say the Why Can't This Be Love, the jacket of the single had the band in straight jackets. Eddie's in a wheelchair. He looks catatonic. And that would have been a much better album cover for something called 5150.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Yeah. Like, I don't know if it was considered and then thrown away, but it would have been much better. Then I don't know. Is it Jake Steinfeld holding up a globe? I don't know.
Makes no sense.
No sense at all.
No sense that cover.
No sense at all. Okay, Dave Schneier, what's the score right now?
I'm a little surprised. We are 51-50, still up 3-1 right now.
All right, but look, there's a lot of songs left. There's a lot of songs left, and we are going to kick off. And look, I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to talk right now. I'm just going to get right into it. Oh, and also, I'm so glad that the Sammy albums are finally going to get remastered.
Yes.
Sonically, what you're hearing, I mean, I'll even out all the audio, but what we're hearing right now as we record, you can hear that the original CD is not up to snuff with the 2015 remaster of 1984. It's just, sonically, it's just not. And I can't wait till they are. That said, Panama. We'll be right back. Track three from 1984. It was a single. It was a video. It's a monster. And it's going to go up against track three from 5150, which is Get Up.
Here we go. It's an odd song. I mean, number wise, I'm first on this one.
So Dave Festini goes first.
I love Get Up. I love the drums. I think, you know, although it, again, another recurring theme with Sammy, which is the fighting. That's fighting or fucking with Sammy, one or the other. I love this song. And it was the song where, like, it came on, and if you had any doubt that, although after Good Enough, your doubts kind of subsided. But, like, if you had any doubts left that Van Halen could still kick ass, Get Up was proof that they could. And, I mean, clearly, listen, of all my criticisms of Sammy, he's got the better voice, right? He's got the better range. And it's like, with him paired with the Michael Anthony background vocals, like, forget it on that chorus. It's unbelievable. Then you have Panama, which to me, like, Panama is a quintessential Van Halen song for me, because it's got all of the elements. Mm-hmm. And it's a great example of how Dave, can you imagine, good Lord, can you imagine Panama if Sammy was writing the lyrics? Dave writes the lyrics, and it's like, is he talking about a woman? Is he talking about a car? Who the hell knows what he's talking about?
Yeah, you never know.
You never know, and it's great, and you sing along. Both awesome songs, both songs that I've played a trillion times. My vote goes Panama.
All right. Now, you know, a lot of people say, oh, the Blondie song Dreamin', that's a drum tour de force for Clem Burke. Fuck that song. Get Up is a fucking monster drum tour de force for Alex Van Halen. Jesus, so many things going on there. Tom-toms, and I don't even know what he's, everything is happening in Get Up. And again, yeah, when I dropped the needle on this album for the first time, you know, it was good enough, excellent. Then the single came, and then Jesus, this thing hit. And I was like, Wow. This is hard rocking greatness. But Panama. I mean, we didn't even get to where he reached down between my legs and easing the seat back. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't even, it's not even close. I love both songs, but it's Panama, 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 Panama.
There's a, you can look it up on YouTube. There is a performance from the American Music Awards, I think, when they were, Van Halen was in the, their whole reunion with Dave, where they do Panama, and it like, it'll, it gives you goosebumps, that performance. Mm-hmm. Taylor Swift introduces them. She's in the audience with Zendaya and they're jamming out to it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's one of their signature songs. Get Up is not a signature song of even the Sammy era.
That's true.
And also when we do this, I have to really just remove, it's hard to remove the video imagery out of my head and not let that play into these 1984 songs, because there's no videos for 5150. There's one, I don't want to say the name until that song comes up, but there's no real, they didn't make videos, which I'm shocked because right before Sammy was in Van Halen, he leaned into the videos with I Can't Drive 55. And there was a couple other videos off that album. So I'm surprised that when he joined, they didn't really lean into it to say, like, look what we look like as a band. But I think they didn't want you to see what they look like together until you saw them live. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Dave Schneier, what's the count?
We are all tied at 3 right now.
All right.
Wow. All right.
It's getting good.
All right. Here we go. Track 4 from 1984. It is Top Jimmy. Jimmy. All right, we're going to move on to 5150, and track 4 from that album is a little something called Dreams. We'll be right back. All right, it's going to be a while until he gets to the chorus of "That's What Dreams Are Made Of." So we're going to cut it at a minute and a half. To be fair, we can't hear the entire song. It's the even, so it's my turn. Top Jimmy is one of my favorite songs off of 1984. It was not a single. It was not a video. I don't remember hearing it on the radio. But it did, for me, harken back to the first two albums. Like, I feel like that would fit on Van Halen 1 or Van Halen 2. I really enjoy Top Jimmy. But Dreams, this was the first Van Halen song with Sammy that felt like it was something that they hadn't done before. It's not quite a, it's not a ballad, but it's soaring in its production and its playing. And this is not immature Sammy lyrics on this one. I really like the sentiment of this song. And for me, between these two songs, I like both of them, but for me, it's no contest. I've always really loved Dreams. Like, that would be a, that was probably a song that I would repeat when I would listen to the CD of 5150. So for me, it's Dreams.
This is a tough one. I mean, they're probably all going to be tough, but this one in particular is tough. And I think it is, it kind of shapes where you're going. You know, there are those who say they're Team Dave, Team Sammy. Dreams is an example, I think, of the new Van Halen sound. You kind of got there with Why Can't This Be Love, but with Dreams, it's the first time we've heard that kind of, I don't know if mid-tempo is the word or not, but like, it's aspirational song. Like, you didn't have a ton of aspirational lyrics with Dave's right. Van Halen. Yeah.
This was the precursor to Right Now, kind right. of. Like, it's yes. With Dreams, they can go other places that they not necessarily couldn't go with Dave, but weren't going to go with Dave.
And it's poppy, mm-hmm. and it's melodic. It's not as hard or edged as the early Van Halen. You know, Top right. Jimmy, like I think you were saying, is really kind of straight ahead.
Yeah.
Van Halen in the essence of the earlier material, because yeah. you know, you've had like you've had Jump, which is about as close to pop as that era ever got.
True.
I don't know, when Diver Down maybe, but you know, Top Jimmy is foot to the floor, off we go. It's, you know, it's fun. It's got the Jay at the end.
Yeah.
And that's my Van Halen, right? If I had to choose, do I want the fun pedal to the metal Van Halen versus the thinking man's Van Halen with the yeah. Dreams? I go with the fun. So Top Jimmy it is for me.
All right. So there's our tie, Dave Schneier. So what's the count now?
Yeah, we are, we're still tied. We are tied at 4 right now.
Okay. That's fine. Cause we are just now at song 5. We are right dead center in the middle of these two albums. I mean, if you're listening on CD, so let's go track 5 from 1984. This is Drop Dead Legs. We'll be right back. Friday, Drop Dead Legs. We went for a minute 29. It seems like we're going for about a minute and a half tonight, but you know, we have to get the essence of these songs. All right. Yeah. Track 5 from 5150. Let's throw down some Summer Nights. Dave, it's the odd numbered song 5, so you got to kick it off.
I don't know if you heard me audibly gasp.
You had no idea what song was coming next, which I love.
We've agreed that I would not look at any track listings prior to this episode being announced, and I haven't. Drop Dead Legs, I feel like Drop Dead Legs is unappreciated. It actually played at my wedding. It played during, you know, the whole garter thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got it, that whole bit. I had them play Drop Dead Legs during that whole part of the ceremony. And it's Dave channeling his inner Sammy there with the giant butt.
Dig that and, steam, giant butt makes me scream.
You know that you want it. Little cringy.
Yeah.
Little, lot cringy. I love Drop Dead Legs. And then you played Summer Nights, which in itself with its human toys.
Yeah. That's a rough one,
but that's what we expect from Sammy.
Yeah.
Man, I love Summer Nights, man. It's possibly my favorite song on this entire album because I feel like that's a song that they could have definitely done with Dave.
Yeah.
It's got that summer feel to it. It's like I said, it's one of, if not my favorite song on this whole album. I gotta go Summer Nights. And it kills me to do it because I love Drop Dead Legs.
I'm going Summer Nights also. It's one of those songs that gives me the feel.
Yep.
Those songs from the Bon Jovi era that we liked. It makes me think about some. I believe this album came out. It was a summer album. It might have come out in April or March. I'm not sure when it came out. Dave Schneier can tell us. But for me, this was the album of the summer of 86. And then to have a song called Summer Nights takes me right back to that time. Dave, you said Drop Dead Legs is underappreciated. I've never appreciated it. I just never liked it. Coming off those first four songs that are so strong, I mean,
it's got that groove. It's got like a groove.
I know. That's not the Van Halen I like. I don't like that, you know, and there's tons of Sammy songs I don't like from Van Halen too. So, but yeah, Drop Dead Legs. It's funny. If I went through the first six Dave albums.
Mm-hmm.
This might be the first song that I don't really like. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Throw My Rope, Loop De Loop, Nice White Teeth, Betty Boop. I'm like, it's kind of nonsense.
It's not his lyrical moment.
So,
no.
So yeah, two for Summer Nights, I guess, Dave Schneier. What's the score?
It's 7-5 right now, 51-50 in the lead.
All right, let's get some thoughts from our Cub reporter, Dave Schneier. What do you think so far, Dave, about how this is going?
So since I don't take part in this, I actually last week went through each album, listened to them at work, song for song.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, work. I took about...
Sorry, work.
I'll tell my score later on, total, at the very end. But
okay.
Both these songs, by the way, I feel are David Lee Roth songs. I agree with the point of, like, Summer Nights just sounds like perfect California David Lee Roth of, like... Yeah. This feels like... Because, Dave, I think you made the point earlier of where some of these songs... in the works or written already, and then Sammy came in. This to me is a David Lee Roth Van Halen song that Sammy came in and threw some shitty ass lyrics at for the most part. But
I actually don't mind. It's that Human Toys line. Like,
yeah, it's just that one.
Of it kind of is okay. Like, right. Hanging out with the boys on a summer night. Like, that's cool. It's
yeah.
Like the,
it's okay. Like the fringe. All right. Like, oh, one shitty ass lyric.
Human Toys.
Yeah. Human Toys.
I'm impressed that it's this close. That's all right. I'll say. I'm all impressed right. It's this close.
And I believe that all the music was written for 5150. And then Sammy came in, and I'm pretty sure he says he just scattered lyrics as they played live, and then whatever stuck, and you know, and some was great, and some was Human Toys and Flipper Over. All right. here we go. Track six. Versus track six, let's start out with Van Halen, Hot for Teacher. Before we continue, I need to ask this of both Daves. Dave Festini, who was the hot teacher that you remember?
Who?
Yeah, who was the hot teacher when you were in school? Any grade.
I thought you were talking about the actress from the video who apparently dated David Spade. No. I didn't have any.
Wow.
I don't know where they were.
All right.
But they weren't teaching me.
Well, all right. I had Miss Finksler and... I had Miss Sphinxler, which is a rough name.
Unfortunate.
And Miss Gonzalez. And those were my two. Dave Schneier, did you have hot teachers?
Yeah, Miss Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And Miss Brandt.
All right. All right. What if he would have said, oh, I liked Mr. You think Miss Finksler is an unfortunate name? My astronomy teacher was Mr. Gatiss. Yeah. All right, moving on to track six. I don't like to stop in the middle of the tracks, but I did. I'm sorry. This is Best of Both Worlds. The even songs, that's when I start first. I want to note that both of these songs are almost the exact same length in time. Hot for Teacher is 4 minutes 44 seconds. Best of Both Worlds, 4 minutes 49 seconds. Before listening back to back, I might have picked Best of Both Worlds, but then as it played up against Hot for Teacher, they both have long intros, but Hot for Teacher's long intro is just, again, Alex Van Halen just rocking us like a hurricane, if I can steal that from someone. Best of Both Worlds starts out with a bluesy groove, and I'm not really a blues person. So once Best of Both Worlds gets going, I really like it. But, I mean, and Hot for Teacher to me is kind of almost not a traditional song that doesn't really have, straight ahead verses. It's almost nonsense. And then a chorus, you know what I mean? Like it's a song meant to be played live. Like that's where they, you know, but again, yeah, all that aside, I'm going with Hot for Teacher.
Okay, I want to take a minute to go back to something we spoke of earlier because it dawned on me when Hot for Teacher was playing with the whole videos thing, how they didn't do videos for 5150.
Yeah.
I feel like that may have been a response to that video era with Dave. Dave with his over-the-top videos, because I remember the Hot for Teacher video, which was that typical David Lee Roth over-the-top video. I wonder if with 5150 they said, hey, you know what? We're done with Dave. We're done with the huckster shit.
Yeah.
And no videos because we don't, you know, we're separating ourselves. Meanwhile, Dave's doing the Yankee Rose video and all that.
Let also, the music do the talking.
Exactly. And I want to touch on the production of 1984 because it is definitely a progression from those earlier Halen albums because they were really raw down to like the separation of the guitar and the instruments and all that. I feel like 1984 was slicker and I love the production on Hot for Teacher. Yeah. It's hard to pull off like that whole classroom environment sound where it doesn't sound cheesy.
Yeah.
So Templeman did a great job there.
Yeah. In the hands of Poison or Motley Crue, it would be shitty.
Yes, exactly. with Best of Both Worlds, this is the first time I'm like, oh, here we go. Here's the Sammy song. This could be on a Sammy Hagar album. This yeah. phony groove crap. There's elements of it I kind of like, but it's like, that's the one where it's like the slam on the brakes. There's Sammy. Sammy finally showed up. It sounds phony to me. It's yeah. like faux Van Halen. It's the first Van Hagar song
yeah.
that shows up.
And yet Eddie probably loved playing that bluesy riff.
I guess. I think, you know, Eddie would have played anything that Dave was gone, I think, at that point. But he may, maybe, I mean, listen, it was a staple, right? They played it all, you know, live.
And it was a big live song. They would like, do this dance thing they would do.
Oh, right. The stupid dance. Yeah, oh, God.
Dance.
See, and they're like, in the Hot for Teacher video, they do that stupid cheesy thing where they're right. Isn't that the Hot for Teacher video?
Yeah. And then we have to have that fucking backstory of fucking Waldo. It's too much.
No, but that stupid dance that they do, it's supposed to be stupid. That's
it is.
And when Van Hagar's up there doing their stupid ass little walk.
Yeah.
To Best of Both Worlds. Cool. It's like, oh God, guys,
it's not cool.
Exactly.
So I'm with you.
Hot for Teacher, Hot for Teacher, Hot for Teacher, all day long.
Yeah. All right. What is the tally?
We're tied at 6 right now.
Oh, boy. Oh, and you know what?
I got a bad feeling.
Again, without looking at what at what the track listing is, track 7 versus track 7.
Oh, boy.
This is our ballad battle. I call it a ballad battle. I just made that up. Here we go. A song co-written with Michael McDonald.
Yes.
Michael McDonald, on another podcast, he said he makes more residual money off this song than he does off of any of his solo or Doobie Brothers songs.
How is that possible?
I don't know, but that's what he said. That's what he said.
And he had to fight. He had to fight to get credit for it, too.
He didn't have credit at first. It wasn't until some of the reissues that they put his name on it. But here we go. And again, Ten Templeman produced the Doobie Brothers. And that's why he brought Michael in to, I guess, hone this song a little bit. I'm not going to say he rewrote it or whatever, but whatever he added to it fully formed it, I guess. This is I'll Wait. Daddy do. I don't know why I ever said that. Maybe I'll edit that out. All right, here we go. Track 7 on 5150 is Love Walks In. All right. I called it the ballad battle. I guess as I listen now, it's as close to a ballad as Dave gets with I'll Wait. And Love Walks In is more mid-tempo than ballady, I believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're both, you know, similar in vein. Look, Love Walks In, I just love it. I like it the way I like Dreams. I really liked that those two Sammy songs on here that were took Van Halen in a different direction. On the next album, OU812, they do a song called When It's Love, which sucks. To me, it's Love Walks In number two,
wow.
But it sucks. I hate that song. I don't know why they released it as the first single. I think Black and Blue was the first single. Anyway, it was the first video. Choice. But yeah, I hate When It's Love. I hate it, hate it, hate it. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Wow.
On the record. I never liked I'll Wait. I just never liked it. I don't like the music. I don't like Dave singing this way and a song like this. His vocal performance is very talky on this song. And I never liked I'll Wait. I just never did. It was always a skippable song for me. So 100%, it's Love Walks In for me.
Oh, my God, Pat.
Yeah.
Good Lord, man.
I'll Wait.
First of all, Pat, I'm going to give you a pass because Dave is supposed to vote first on that one.
Well, thanks for stealing my thunder, man.
We're on the odd songs. You were on a roll. I didn't want to stop you.
All right. Next time, stop, though, Dave. You're allowed to do that.
Okay. All right.
You've got me captured. I'm under your spell.
No, I guess.
I'll never learn.
Listen.
There's very little singing in that song.
Hold on, Pat. Hold on. Let's go to New Jersey Dave here.
Except for the whole chorus, that chorus thing.
Yeah, that's the band. So,
this is another prime example of Van Halen versus Van Hagar. And this is a very keyboard. I'll Wait is an extremely heavy keyboard song, but it's still got rock and roll balls.
Right.
Love Walks In is the keyboard. If they weren't Van Halen, right? If they were some other rock band, you know, Love Walks In is fine. It's a fine little sappy love song. Oh, God, please send it. Throw it back. It's not Van Halen. It's just not Van Halen. There is this Hagar stuff that stands up to the earlier Van Halen Dave stuff. This song is the furthest from it. It's a sappy love song. And I'll Wait. Can you imagine I'll Wait in the hands of Sammy Hagar? Good Lord.
I got to be honest. I don't want that in the hands of anyone. I think that song sucks. On.
You're out of your
mind. Are you for real? It's so hard to tell.
It's got that great
from just chorus a magazine. To it. I got to be honest with these Sammy songs. When did it
get sung by a robot?
We're not. I know it could be sung by a robot. I'll Wait.
Stop it.
Look, the sad thing is we're not getting to Eddie's solos in a lot of these songs. Mm. And the 5150 songs, Eddie's got killer solos in all of them, but we're not getting there because we can't play the whole song. And I don't want to jump ahead because it's like a cheat. I like to just start it from the beginning and get to the chorus. That's kind of how we set these shows up. So, so it's one for I'll Wait and one for Love Walks In.
Yes, it is.
And I don't disagree with what you said, but yeah, I'll Wait.
Sounded like you did.
No. You made great points about Love Walks In, but I'll Wait is just, it's not a Van Halen song.
Of course it is.
I just don't like it at all. Whoa. I hate it.
Of course it is.
It's so bad.
Man, I'll Wait in the list of songs about whacking off to a magazine, it's practically poetry. Did I just say that?
Yeah, you're on record.
You're dead.
You know, you got your centerfold. Guilty, you got your Anything She Does by Genesis, and then there's I'll Wait, at the top of the list.
Well, centerfold kills those two songs.
Oh, come on.
Nah.
I do love me some Jay Giles Band. Yeah, I don't know, but that's a
I just hate Dave's vocal take on this. It's as robotic as Sammy is sappy.
I don't agree, but that's the beauty of this. That's, we can both agree to disagree, right?
Yeah.
What's the score, Dave?
It's tied at 7.
Crazy business.
Songs to go. Tied at 7.
Crazy business. All right, here we go. I will let Dave go first this next time since I stole his thunder. And Dave, reporter Dave, feel free to keep me track on track next time. I have a lot of balls in the air here with fading up, fading down, all the stuff. Also, I have to, you know, also I have cognitive issues because of my age. So come on, Dave, step it up.
Balls in the air.
1984, track 8. We start to close out the albums. Here we go. Girl, Gone, Bad. That's Girl Gone Bad. Both of these albums, now that I see it, have a title track. We heard 1984's first song was 1984, and track 8 for Van Halen is called 5150. Here we go. All right. Track eight versus track eight. Again, it is Girl Gone Bad versus 5150. Dave, we're allowing you to go first this time.
Yes. Girl Gone Bad, I feel, is it reaches kind of back, right? If 1984 was a progression of the Van Halen sound to a certain extent, I feel like Girl Gone Bad could have easily been on any of those previous albums. With 5150, we've exited the Van. I feel like we've exited Van Hagar now. We're back on the Van Halen track with a nice guitar driven song with, you know, the different time signatures and stuff. That is prime post Dave Van Halen with 5150, and it gets my vote.
5150 also gets my vote. For me, and I think maybe Girl Gone Bad could have been a song that was written, you know, for one of the first couple albums.
Yeah, and I agree.
Because they would do that a lot. They would pull songs. For me, Girl Gone Bad lacks a good chorus. The chorus is not, it's not really anything. It's just like Girl Gone, you know. And for me, when the chorus hits in 5150, it soars. Even though I don't necessarily like the first the way Sammy delivers the first couple lines, after that build, then he kind of brings it down, but then it comes up again. So I think there's more layers to 5150, and my vote is also for 5150. All right, Dave Schneier, what do you got?
5150 is up by 2-9-7.
All right, but that could all change. It could all change with the final matchup. Closing out the albums, each one has 9 tracks, released 2 years apart with different lead singers. And here we go. Song 9 versus song 9. And again, Dave, you're going to go first after this. That'll put us back on track. Well, yeah, because, you know, yeah, I got us off track.
Yeah, I get it.
So this is House of Pain. Right, that is House of Pain. We heard over half the lyrics on that song. The lyrics to that song, very, very short, very short. I didn't even realize that, but now I know. Okay, and Van Halen 5150, they're going to close out their first album with Sammy with a song called Inside. Here we go.
I thought it was really going to be different this time, and it is.
Yeah. I don't know, man, we're dying.
Hey, you
we're
got
dying.
A point there.
This is not
you actually got 3 points.
3 points, dude.
All right, okay, where do you get that clothes? Out of your closet?
Out of my wife's closet.
Listen here, it's not what you are, you see, it's
All right, Dave, House of Pain versus Inside.
They should have called Inside Douche Chills. That's what they should have called Inside. It's awful. And it is everything that is wrong with Sammy's Van Halen. It's not funny. It's not cool. It's not good. It's nothing that should have been included on an album. It is everything that's wrong with Van Hagar. I don't even like House of Pain that much. I feel like it was like, hey, we did a lot of pop stuff and a lot of keyboards on this album. Don't worry, we're still Van Halen on the way out the door. Inside's just, oh God, it's so cringeworthy. Like, oh, you get it? Oh, Dave's an ass. We're so much better with... It's the worst. It's awful. So it's a House of Pain for me.
All right. For me, both of these albums would have been better at 8 songs each. Because House of Pain, they've never covered this territory before. This is like some fucking Guns N' Roses lyrics. You know,
it's not strong.
Say you're going to leave me because I only tie you up. Always love you tender, but you only like it rough. There's only like 8 lines to all the lyrics. There's not a chorus. It's just, it only sounds good because the production's good, in my opinion. Inside for me almost sounds like, sometimes he sounds like Dave singing in there. Especially on what the minuscule chorus is.
Was that deliberate?
I think it was deliberate. All that stuff at the top before the song really kicks in. It's the opposite of what you said about the room tone and everything from Hot for Teacher.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be some guys in the studio chatting and some busting balls, I guess. It's so weak. So now I got to pick the better. Do I want to drink piss or eat a shit sandwich? That's what it is for me.
No, but you look, it's Inside is supposed to be poking fun at like Happy Trails, right? Like it's Happy Trails. It's Dave's stupid jokey song at the end. Well, you know what? Happy Trails, as silly as it is funny.
It's funny. It's funny.
A cool acapella number.
Bombadita. Yeah, it's
yes, fun. It's fun. But Inside is just, it's, oh, come on, Pat. Inside is garbage. It's hot garbage.
It is garbage, but I hate House of Pain. Like, I really think 1984 falls apart with side two. I always have felt that. And I never listen to House of Pain. I will listen to Inside, even though it's subpar, but I never, ever listen to House of Pain.
Oh, you're full of shit. You're not listening to Inside. Come on.
If it played, after 5150, it's such a fucking letdown, but the song 5150, but House of Pain, I've never liked it. I've liked Inside a little bit, but I've never liked House of Pain. For that reason, I have to give it to Inside.
No.
I do. I hate House of Pain. It's the worst song on the album.
Okay, great. If it's the worst song on the album, that's fine. It's still not as bad as Inside.
Inside's the worst song on the album too, but I like it better than House of Pain. It just sucks. I just don't like it at all. I've never liked it. So I can't.
Well, at least it's a song.
I know, but even listening right now, I'm listening and I don't like it. I don't like it.
Wow.
Yeah. And Eddie has a solo on Inside, at least.
So you're saying, Pat, that you would rather eat a shit sandwich than drink a large cup of urine.
I don't want to do either. I want to cut both of these songs off the album. You can't.
I can't.
Well, then I'm eating a shit sandwich.
Well, there you go.
You've actually got 3 points there.
It's terrible.
What I just voted for.
Terrible.
I hope you don't sleep tonight. You should be ashamed of yourself. Oh my God.
It's terrible. This song, this House of Pain doesn't have a chorus. It doesn't have, it barely has lyrics. It doesn't have melody. It's terrible.
But it was a song. It started off as a song, not a way to take a shot. at your former lead singer.
I agree. It's super immature. It's super immature in the way that OU812 is supposed to be a play on after Eat 'Em and Smile. I mean, they're immature.
There's no song on Eat 'Em and Smile that takes a shot at the Van Halen brothers. No, there isn't.
I agree. Dave, I agree.
Forget that Dave took the high road.
I agree. There's not.
And now you're going to reward Van Halen with your vote.
I'm going song by song.
I'm inside shaming you.
Never liked House of Pain. I think after I heard the album the first time, I never played that song again. I would skip it in the car on the CD. I would never listen to it. I absolutely hate that song. When I would listen to 5150, I would play the whole disc. Did I love Inside? I didn't love it, but I hate House of Pain.
You wouldn't just turn it off after 5150? Well, who's forcing you to listen to Inside?
No one is, but that's what I mean. I would turn off House of Pain. I never turned off Inside.
Because you were like, let me hear these idiots make fun of Dave. It's a novelty whore piece of shit. Yeah.
Twitter. It's crappy. But I hate House of Pain. I hate House of Pain.
First of all, Dave Festini, do not pander to Twitter at this point. Don't you dare.
Yes, Elon Festini. All right, give us the score.
All right.
This is the first final time score. I've been legitimately, sometime this whole series, it's the first time I've been legitimately pissed at you.
10-8 winner, 51-50 over 1984.
I went in straight. I was honest about everything. I'm telling you.
I was on the record.
I know you were.
How do you vote for Inside? How?
I guarantee the listeners are going to love you because I guarantee people are going to come down with 1984. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Well, you kind of do, but you don't have to apologize. I went into this open because I honestly thought I knew that the last two tracks on 1984 were going to be an issue.
Yeah.
And I also knew that the last track of 5150 was Inside. So I was really interested to see how things played out. Sometimes
the sequencing of these albums, it really makes or breaks some of these contests. Dave Schneier, when you did it earlier in the week, what happened?
I had 1984 winning 6-3.
Wow. 6-3.
Wow.
And you obviously then like House of Pain more than Inside?
Who doesn't?
Let's see what planet.
I literally don't have the tally in front of me, but I'm pretty sure that I picked it because it reminded me a little more of the old Van Halen, which I like more than the Van Hagar stuff.
Sure.
I think it throws a lot, look, it's 10-8. But you had the song 1984, which is nothing, right?
It's nothing. So
you lost two votes there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's your tie right there.
Yeah.
We have to remember the opening riff, the ba-dum, 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 ba-dum. Just the opening riff is better than all of Inside.
I just hate it.
You have such hate for Inside.
Yeah.
Because it's everything that's wrong with that second era of Van Halen. Everything. That song is so Sammy. It's so douchey Sam.
So Sammy. It's so Sammy.
Oh. It's the worst.
Do you want to take 5 minutes and actually just sit there and read the lyrics, Dave? Do you want to do that?
No, I don't.
This episode was brought to you by Santo, 100% agave tequila.
Who's on there? Is that?
That's Guy Fieri, two douches, Sammy Hagar and Guy Fieri.
Fuck.
It's two douches tequila.
Look at those guys.
God.
Look at those guys. Hey, that's my brother from another. Shut up.
Anybody. Do you have any idea how sickened I am by the fact that my favorite artist is associated with Sammy Hagar? Anyway.
I got a venereal disease looking at that picture right there.
Yeah, I know. All right, guys. Do you want me to tell you what the next matchup's going to be? And look,
absolutely.
A lot of fans, I hate that word. I'm sorry I said it, folks. I don't like to say fans. A lot of listeners have been a lot of listeners have been sending me matchups, and I haven't been down with a lot of them, and I I'm not necessarily open to people sending me matchups, even though I said I am. I'm not really, but I'm going to tell you what. Two people sent me the same matchup.
Oh,
Nick Robertson and Anthony or Tony Mueller sent me the same matchup.
Really?
And I got to be honest, I don't know how we don't do it. It's very similar to what we just did. Are you guys ready? I'm going to hold up the jackets.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. Say it, Fistini. What is it?
Oh, it's Highway to Hell versus Back in Black.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. That's outstanding.
Isn't it? Nick Robertson and Anthony Tony Mueller. Thank you for that one. Both produced by Mutt Lang.
Yes.
Both came out within a year of each other. Different lead singers. One's a tribute to the former lead singer.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Do not look at the track list. Do not listen.
And
we will get this on the board soon because, again, currently I'm enjoying this so much that I want to drop one of these a month. I'm sorry. People are enjoying them. I'm not sorry.
People are sorry.
What are
you sorry for?
I'm sorry that you have to listen to the three of us, but you do. You have to. But I love these episodes. I mean, again, I've said it almost 13 years in. Who knew that we would come up with something that gets me so psyched and no preparation. No preparation.
No,
like today,
no Pilar
said, do you have to prepare for the podcast? And I go, no. I don't.
As a matter of fact, it's a lack. You've been told not to prepare.
Yes. And what I do is I put the set list in order. Like I'll do it like tomorrow and then I won't. And I don't even, I like, it is so, I'm like covering up my screen and dragging them because I don't want to see. And literally I only see two songs at a time when we do this. I have the iTunes shrunk. So I just slide up and the two pop up. I really don't know what's going against what, because I want it to be a surprise for me too. So we are on board with Highway to Hell, 10 songs. Oh,
yeah. That's a great one.
Back in Black, 10 songs. Let's do some promoting. Fistini, you go first, or did you freeze?
He's frozen.
I think he's frozen. Well, that's good for the show though. All right. You can find Fistini probably in a back alley with a bottle and he's back. Hey, Dave.
I'm back. I don't know what that was. Really weird.
We weren't saying anything.
I'm sure you weren't. I lost my internet there for a second. I think
glazed donut.
Dave, where
to go?
where can we find you on the internet?
At D Fistini on Twitter, which I'm sure will be very active after this episode drops. that is where you can find me.
And Mother Cover has a Facebook page?
We do, yes. MOTHERCOVR. Leave off that E at the end. We are Mother Cover. Our next show, we're kicking off the Memorial Day weekend at the...
Well, this one drops June 8th.
All right. Well, then it doesn't matter.
I'll probably get it out to the ASAP Club so that they can get right to lambasting us on the internet.
I believe but don't reveal the results.
Don't reveal the results.
Do not reveal the results.
Right.
I believe in June, we're playing at the Sunset Grill in lovely Lincoln Park, New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that should
down
be a good
at the
one.
Sunset Grill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, if you want to email me directly, directly and say you're full of shit and go fuck yourself, you can do that. Just don't put it out where everyone else can see it.
Public.
Dave Schneier, one more time, let's give out your blog and all your information.
Thank you again. This was a fun one, guys. I can't wait for the next one. It's Dave's Mixtape. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. It's at Dave Schneier, Schneier.
All right. You can find us at Rock Solid Show. You can also go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show. Want to give a shout out to Kyle Hildreth, who does all the artwork for these Versus episodes. I keep forgetting.
Great stuff.
Give him a shout out.
You're good.
And also Kyle Dotson at Kyle Dotson Funny for running the website. and also patreon.com/rocksolidpodcast. And just for fun, and just because Dave is so angry tonight with how this turned out, I'm going to close this out with one of the worst Sammy Hagar songs. No.
It's not how it turned out. It's just your vote for Inside. That's it. That's what has me pissed.
Please enjoy Up for Breakfast.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Dave. And thanks,
Dave.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
But all right, so Dave Festini, 1984 against Inside.
1984.
Because you hate Inside that much.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I would take Inside because at least it's some semblance of a song. It's got a chorus.
See, I'm gonna agree with Pat on that one. I don't like Inside either. I don't really like it all that much.
I hate everything it stands for.
It's a false song.